Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen. Ray, our friend, is producing and engineering our show. Ray is with us Monday through Thursday here on the Buckmaster Show, and then Tom Fairbanks is with us on Friday. This is an unusual week. It's Christmas week, so in effect, this is kind of like a Friday for us. This is our last live show of the week, and then tomorrow, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day here during the noon hour, we will have what we call in the industry best of programs, but really they are good programs because they're kind of the programs that we feel some of the interviews we've done are worth certainly a second airing. So if you get a chance, we will have those programs for you on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We live stream our show at buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com. Live streaming, kind of the way of the future, certainly for the broadcast industry. You don't need to be by a radio if you're around a computer. Anywhere in the world, really. You just go to the website, KVOI, or my website, and then you can hear the program. We also like to do a nice big shout-out to all of our media partners who have links to our program, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, and the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Thank you to all of our media friends. We're going to begin with Karen Ulick, Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson, Democrat Councilwoman representing the city's 3rd Ward. Then at 12:30, what the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona is doing to help those who need food assistance this holiday season, and there are a lot of those folks, and the Community Food Bank does a wonderful job here in this community, and I didn't realize they're coming up on their 40th anniversary, the food bank, one of the first food banks really in the country, and they are known nationwide as being one of the best. We'll close out the show with an historic agreement between China and the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. So that's coming up to close out the show. Live line number 790-2040. Our Facebook page, my goal was to hit 4,500 friends on kind of the 5-year anniversary of the program, which is coming up the first week in January. We're just a few friends shy of that goal. And then in 2016, our goal will be to close it out and hit 5,000 friends of the Buckmaster Show. We're also trying to do Twitter slowly but surely. That's at buckmastershow.com. Karen Ulick is with me in studio. Karen, good to see you.
Thanks, Bill.
How is your holiday season shaping up?
I'm excited. It's been great so far. And I've really enjoyed so many of the festivities in town and across the community. So it's been great.
How would you characterize 2015 as far as the city council and the work of the city?
Yeah, well, I think that honestly, I think I would characterize it as the year of renewed hope and optimism. There's really an uptick in the economy, albeit slow. I think people are beginning to feel more confident again that their own future and the future of their families can be bright here in Tucson and across the country. And a lot of great things have happened, as you know, in the city itself. We have a new city manager who is a strong leader, Michael Ortega. He's done a very good job, I think, of getting traction even in his early months of service. I would say it's hope and optimism are the theme of 2015.
And a new police chief.
That's right.
That's huge.
It is very significant. And I genuinely believe, having heard from folks across the community and met with TPOA, that everybody is looking for a strong leader with a clear vision and plan. And I think we'll find that. We have found that from Mike Ortega, and I think we'll find it also from Chief Magnus.
And Mike Ortega has talked about the city is just going to have to really get tough on this upcoming budget to balance the budget. For those who say, well, the city of Tucson is fat workforce-wise, it really isn't the case. Since 2008, the city has cut 1 in 5 jobs.
That's right. We had roughly 5,000, and we're down to close to 4,000 now. So I think the great thing about Mr. Ortega and the mayor and council's conversations on this is that it's not just about downsizing. It's really about refashioning and reorganizing and refocusing the city's work. And that holds opportunity as well as challenge. And we need to look at it that way. We can bemoan the fact that times have changed. Funding at the local level has diminished. We get far less from the state and even from the feds. So it is a new day. But I think the fact that we're recognizing and even embracing that reality is going to put us in a better position to shape our future together.
Mr. Ortega has talked about implementing a hiring freeze immediately. That would save up to $18 million a year. He's also talked about two kinds of buyout programs, allowing attrition to grow to 140 workers per year. That would save another $3 million. And then he's talking about cutting 40 new hires still on probationary status. So he's really looking very, very he's putting under a microscope the whole city management level.
He is. He is from the top all the way through. And I think the key there is that he's not afraid to propose action. And he knows very well as an experienced manager that if you delay action, these types of steps will have to happen tenfold down the road. So he's being proactive. And I think it's tough. It is difficult, especially, obviously, for, you know, the probationary employees and others who can't stay with the city. But the reality is, if we don't look at it now and pretend it's not the reality, we'll be in a far greater world of hurt down the road.
Our live line number is 790-2040. We have our first caller of the hour. Matthew would like to speak with the Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson, Councilwoman Karen Ulick. Go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, Karen, the City Council has a very tough year ahead of them. And first off, I'm just going to say flatly, any attempts to, I think the Tucson Hispanic Chamber voted today against any attempts to impose a requirement for a small business or any business in Tucson as to sick leave. And that has just got to be dropped immediately, or any suggestion of that. Second, the council's attempt to reorganize, the city manager is attempting to find changes, but transportation costs of moving those prisoners could be very, very costly. So you need to relook at that and add in transportation. And the last thing, you guys are going to have to make tough decisions, but making it on the backs of probationary employees, the city manager is looking for nickels and dimes when there's more meat to be found in other things like salaries. I mean, very high-paid salaries all over the city.
Okay.
People don't need to lose jobs at the lowest end who really do work. That's my thoughts. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much, Matthew. There were three items there, Councilwoman, that he brought up. First of all, sick leave. That was brought up by mandatory sick leave for businesses. That was brought up by Rahina Romero. You are on record. You're not at all in favor of that.
Well, I do want to give credit to Councilmember Romero in that, and you and I touched on this, Bill, that had she not put it to the table, we wouldn't be discussing the importance of businesses considering it. I think smart businesses and businesses that can afford to will be examining what their policies are, and the health department and many others encourage that, that because there are huge implications for low-wage workers who either go to work sick or suffer pay consequences. But yeah, I mean, I think I made it clear at the table that right now, and especially on the heels of the city manager's retreat, I made a commitment really to the manager and to the city. I'm going to stay squarely focused on the reorganization of the city and fixing the structural deficit that we face. With regard to the layers of the organization and where cuts likely need to happen, unfortunately, Matthew, I would say that we have to look at all levels and at all departments. To the manager's credit, and I know the mayor and council as well, we are all looking at how we do our work, how many employees we have working with us. The manager himself is greatly reducing the staffing in his own office and some of those highly compensated positions, and that's the purpose of some of the other proposals that he has. So, I think that if we delay action or try and retain employees on probation who we don't think we're going to be able to sustain long term, we'll be looking at even more cuts and possibly more people losing jobs.
Also, transportation costs.
That was his
third item.
Right. I know that a full analysis was done by the manager's office, and I'm sure that the reason that they're focusing on folks who have 10 days or more in their sentence takes into account the transportation costs. It may not be the right solution long term, but that analysis has been done, and you're right, Matthew, we have to keep an eye on it to make sure that it truly is the right approach.
All right, we've got another segment with Karen Ulick, but first I want to tell you about one of our fine sponsors, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. They do a beautiful job with tourism over there, so if you've got some time off over the holidays and want to take a kind of a road trip, maybe day trip, spend a couple of days over there in Silver City. There's a lot to do, some wonderful hiking. The world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument is just north of Silver City. They have done a beautiful job restoring their downtown historic district. Great places to stay like Pinos Altos Cabins and Bear Mountain Lodge, just to name a few. The many places to stay and the many things to do listed at southwestnewmexico.org. Check it out. We'll be right back.
Arizona Bowl is Tucson's bowl game. Don't miss Nevada taking on Colorado State. Catch all the action December 29th at Arizona Stadium. This is your bowl game, Tucson. Don't miss it. Great tickets still available at azbowlgame.com.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl is Tucson's bowl game. Don't miss Nevada taking on Colorado State. Catch all the action December 29th at Arizona Stadium. This is your bowl game, Tucson. Don't miss it. Great tickets still available at azbowlgame.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our last live show before the Christmas Eve and Christmas taped show is during noon, but you can call us right now at 790-2040 on our live line. Karen Ulick, Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson, Ward 3 Councilwoman, is with me in studio. And of course, one of the big issues in 2016 will be the homeless issue. We have this ordinance that you are not crazy about that passed, and who knows, it may actually even jeopardize some federal funding, but we'll have to see where that goes.
Yeah, I mean, to the attorney and mayor and council's credit, we are seeking a review by the Department of Justice and the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Both of them have promulgated some rules and opinions on the criminalization, basically, of homelessness. And in the meantime, I think what it's important to focus on is how can we expand options for people out on the streets. And there's some very, very good work and collaboration happening to make sure that people can get into housing more quickly with fewer barriers, and from there then rebuild their lives. So the mayor and council member Fimbres and really so many people have been pulling together to try and make that happen.
Yeah, because a lot of the homeless people, they'll try to get into a shelter. There may not be room in the shelter. There may be conditions that go along with staying in the shelter, and on and on.
Well, and that's the thing that, you know, some might say that they're choosing to be homeless, but I always try and remember, I try and put myself there, right? It's certainly a punishing way to live. And in addition, because shelters are temporary, you face a choice of either cycling in and out in a very unstable situation or finding a place to sleep outside where you feel safe, often getting a dog to help you stay safe. And you have to give that up. You have to give up your place and your dog. And it may not sound like much, but if that's all you've got, getting into a shelter may not be the best option for some people or the choice that they are going to make. So the key needs to be more affordable housing and quicker ways to give people options that are going to help.
And your career has been really based around affordable finding opportunities for people to find affordable housing.
Well, there are great organizations working on that, and I was really fortunate to work with the Primavera Foundation for over a decade here and in Michigan prior to that on homelessness and housing. So it's something I care a lot about.
A lot of people care a lot about golf, maybe not as many as used to play the game, but there are very passionate golfers in our community, and we have 5 city golf courses. They're not doing as well as I'm sure the city would like, but is the red ink, is the flow of red ink slowing?
Yes, it is. It is. And OB Sports is doing a good job in improving the performance of the golf enterprise. But the truth is, we can't subsidize it. We can't afford to. We can certainly ask the community what kind of investment they want to make in golf. But more broadly, we just really have to be honest about the fact that we need it to be self-sustaining, and we need to evaluate whether we can operate all 5 courses at the same level that they're currently operating, and to what extent we can more broadly share the benefit of any investment we make. So there's still going to be a lot of looking at that whole situation.
The investment in downtown, so many private folks have stepped up with downtown. It's almost become like a hybrid of the way to redevelop downtown without a lot of government influence.
Really, I think what we learned over some very painful lessons, as you'll recall, is that the public's focus needs to stay on the public's role, which is infrastructure. And then if the infrastructure is sound and attractive, then private investment flows. And that's really the formula that's worked. The Rio Nuevo Board, having been reconfigured and sort of all of us getting past the acrimony that existed in the politics that existed in the early days, has left us in a good place, and I think with a really promising future for downtown.
Charter change will be an issue for 2016 for sure. Can you kind of give us an update on where we are with all of this?
Sure.
People are very confused about the charter still.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, first of all, I'm very happy that the voters overwhelmingly approved the 2 changes that we put in front of them this last cycle. The mayor has more strength, that position, as does the manager. And that's important to run the organization better. Now the charter committee is looking at recommendations for our electoral process, which is very confusing. And I think it's a disservice the way it currently is in our charter and our financial situation. We've imposed some limitations that prevent us from even asking voters whether they want to invest more in certain areas. So both of those things are probably going to end up in front of the voters very soon.
We have this ward-only system. It's unusual for a city to have that, correct?
It is. There are other jurisdictions that have primaries held in the wards and then at-large elections. My feeling is, quite frankly, having served now for 10 years, even if it's constitutional, and the Ninth Circuit could review and decide that it's constitutional, I think it's a concern that it's so confusing for voters, and I think it does affect voter turnout. I just don't know that we have a system that's the best for a city of our size. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what the recommendations are that come forward. The courts initially said we should either have ward-only general and primary elections or all at large. And we might find that there's some kind of combination that would serve the city best.
So there is a committee that's already looking at this, correct?
Absolutely. It's the same Charter Review Committee. They did a great job, very thoughtful and thorough analysis before they gave us the recommendations on the mayor and the city manager strengths. And so I think they're going to come back with some good thoughts.
How are we doing at the end of the year here when you look at the sales tax revenues? Is the city budget I know you operate on a fiscal year, which is July to July, but we're kind of at the halfway point here. Are we at where the projections were for the city?
I think we will hit the projections, but it's going to be very tight, and the goal is to not touch the reserves. We're fortunate many cities have zero in their reserves. We have about 5% left in our reserves, and we don't want to touch that. We really, we can't rely on that as a long-term solution, obviously. So we can't sell any more land or do any one-time fixes. We've navigated the downturn well, I think, but moving forward, we have to do things differently.
Ward 3, do you hear complaints in your ward anymore about roads, or are they much less than they were a few years ago?
Overall, I think people are very pleased, actually, with the road bond and how much progress we've made on our roads. And there's more to do on that, but I think people appreciate that they voted with the proposal to invest, and they're seeing the investment pay off. And so I hear a lot of good feedback on that.
Kara Nulick, thank you very much. I hope you and yours have a very Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and have a great holiday season. We'll look forward to perhaps a more optimistic year for the city of Tucson.
Thank you, Bill.
In 2016.
Thanks for having me in, Bill. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Kara Nulick with us as we push toward the bottom of the hour, the midway point of the Buckmaster Show. Coming up next, we're going to hear from the folks at the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. In their 40 years here in Tucson, they have tried and I think done a very good job in making life a little easier for those who need food assistance. Then we'll close out the show, Dr. Mark Sykes from the Planetary Science Institute. They have a big historic agreement they signed with China. It's a good economic story for Tucson, and that's going to be coming up in the second half of the Buckmaster Show on this Wednesday before Christmas. Back right after this.
Are termites chewing on more than your Yule log this holiday season? Five-Star Termite and Pest Control's patented foaming process will rid your home of termites before your first snowball fight on Mount Lemmon. So call 5-Star today and replace those termite tubes hanging from your ceiling with mistletoe and find someone to smooch under it. Call 5-Star at 886-0045 and visit 5startermite.com.
Five-Star Pest Control, and we know what bugs you.
Give local, keep local. That's what you can do by donating to a qualified charitable organization by December 31st. The money you'd otherwise pay in Arizona state taxes can benefit a local charity of your choice. Claim a dollar-for-dollar tax credit for 2015 by donating up to $400 for couples filing jointly and up to $200 for individuals. It's easy. Just go to givelocalkeeplocal.org. Choose an organization like Habitat for Humanity and Pima Council on Aging. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust.
That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Wednesday before Christmas, coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, live streaming on the station's fine website, KVOI.com, and on my website, BuckmasterShow.com. Ray Allen is here, and we're all looking forward to Christmas and a couple of days off, but we're going to have some great special shows for you tomorrow and Christmas. Right now, we're going to talk a little bit about the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona, celebrating 40 years. My goodness, where time flies. Lou Medrin is with us. Lou, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks for having me.
I can't believe it. 40-year anniversary?
40 years. Since 1976, the Community Food Bank has been serving Southern Arizona.
Are you planning any special events for that 40-year anniversary?
We are actually just really trying to get out into the community next year and basically say thank you all year long to everybody that supported us throughout the 40 years, whether it's agency partners, whether it's the corporations that have sponsored us and given us money, and then just individuals, all the folks that have done food drives. Those are just thousands and thousands of folks that have helped us support the community.
On a day-to-day basis, how many meals and food assistance do you think you give out?
It's probably about 63,000 meals a day. If you add up how much we do over the course of a year, it breaks out to about 63,000 meals a day.
If someone would like to help out, it's the year end, and folks give to charities. They give all year, but there is a special incentive, Lou, called the Charitable Arizona Tax Credit for Charitable Giving. How does that work in relation to what you do at the food bank?
What happens is if you donate to the Community Food Bank, and there's many other charities that you can donate that are all part of this Arizona Charitable Tax Credit, where you can qualify up to $200 if you file singly or $400 if you file jointly, you could qualify for a credit, which means basically when you file your taxes next year and if you end up owing to the state, you can have a credit to that so you don't owe as much. And it really works out to help Southern Arizona, because if you donate here, then that money stays locally and you're helping somebody out here. Whereas if you give money to the state, you don't have any idea where that money is really going to go to, wherever they need to apply it. So it's one of those be local campaigns. Give local. If you donate, and there's several school tax credits also.
So how do you do it? Do you go to the Community Food Bank website?
Yeah, it'll give you some idea of how you can qualify for that. And the best advice we always have is just to talk to your tax consultant. He'll let you know how much you could qualify for in terms of a donation.
Winter Haven is underway, and this is really one of your biggest kind of ongoing events of the year, isn't it?
Yeah, Winter Haven's always fun. It's one of our longest food drives in terms of how much the food bank is involved in it every single day. So for 2 weeks, we are out at Winter Haven every night from about 6 to 10. We're at three different locations. We're on Prince Country Club in Fort Lowell, and we're taking food donations there or cash donations. We have our green buckets out there as usual. We have those pods, you know, where you store things. So each one of those locations has a pod. We store the food in there every night, and then we pick it up every morning and get it back to the food bank and start the process of getting it out. But yeah, it's a big food drive for us. We usually collect around 40,000 pounds. I think we're about halfway there right now. Mm-hmm. So we're going to need a last minute push to get over the hump there. But yeah, it's about 40,000 pounds a year.
What kind of food do you need?
We always have the canned donations that we ask for, but really when we ask for canned donations, the most important part of that is the protein. If we can get canned meats, you know, canned tuna, canned chicken, peanut butter, it's the protein that we're always concerned about. But, you know, canned fruits, canned vegetables, and then pastas and things, cereals, things like that. So it doesn't always have to be cans. We just ask that the folks consider, you know, what they're going to provide the folks that need assistance, that give them something that you would eat also.
What is the Stuff the Bus activity that you have?
Oh, Stuff the Bus. K-Gun 9 is going to do a Stuff the Bus in conjunction with HSL Properties. HSL Properties has about 32, maybe 33 apartment properties around town, and they start a large food drive in December, the beginning of December, and it goes all the way through the end of the year, and then those properties all start to bring their food over to us. I think it's January 15th, and we'll be over near Broadway and Pantano, and they'll be collecting food all day long, so we invite the public to come out and donate. It's a fun event. Stuff the Bus campaigns are always fun. You have folks coming by every day, and the folks from HSL Properties are great. They are just so enthusiastic with this food drive.
How about people who are listening to our radio show in some of the, as referred to as the outlying areas, and we don't want to make that derogatory in any way, but this radio station has a really strong reach, and so does the Community Food Bank. I mean, it's not just Tucson. You've served a lot of areas.
Yeah, we serve five counties in Southern Arizona. It's Graham, Greenlee, Cochise, Santa Cruz, and Pima County.
And you're in Wilcox now,
and
too,
we
right?
have a, yes. This okay. year, we just opened up our distribution center in Wilcox, where we're able now to get the food from the Community Food Bank here in Tucson, this warehouse, and get it down to the warehouse in Wilcox, and then from there, we can distribute it. So it's just a lot more reliable. We can get there. We can get produce up from Nogales, and rather than have to bring it to Tucson and then over there, now it can go directly from Nogales right to Wilcox. So we're just able to serve those communities a lot better. Cochise County in particular had a pretty severe pocket of poverty down there where we felt there was like 30,000 folks down there that really could use our assistance. So this just makes it a lot easier to support all the pantries and food banks down there.
Lou Medrin is here from the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. There was a nice article a while back about the local farmers who are now benefiting from what you do, Lou, the food bank, and this partnership that you have with TMC, where they serve, I guess, 2,000 meals a day just alone at TMC.
Right, and that all came through like our farmers markets. We started having a lot of contact with local farmers, the smaller ones, you know, that really didn't have an outlet for a lot of their products, so they would try to farmers markets and different outlets like that. And we started to team up with the hospitals around town, and TMC really engaged us with being able to take food from those farmers and then serve it there. So now the local farmers have an outlet for their food along with our farmers market. Hopefully that generates another job or two at those farms now because they have regular income. So it's just a great partnership with the medical field now, because we can also talk about hunger and nutrition. We're trying to get pediatric doctors to talk about children when they come in. What are you eating? Are you hungry? Or when did you eat last? So we can find out, you know, what the challenges are for some of the folks that either don't have enough food or aren't eating proper properly, and it benefits them in the long run.
Lou, a lot of us have trees, citrus trees in the backyard. Those trees are going to be pretty soon heavy with grapefruit and oranges. How can folks help you in that regard?
We have our gleaning program, which is gleaning, I guess, means citrus picking. Mm-hmm. So we go out every year and we take phone calls and appointments, and we go out to folks' house, mm-hmm. homes. And we actually will take their citrus from them.
Wow.
We'll send a driver out there, sometimes with a volunteer, depending on how many trees they have. And we take the citrus, and then that goes out in our emergency food boxes, so we're able to provide, citrus fruit. And there are many, many citrus trees, and including the actual orange groves on Orange Grove Road up there that we go in and pick. Yeah. We're trying something new this year. We've discovered over the years that it's really an expensive proposition to do the gleaning. It would almost be cheaper for us to buy the fruit, but it was a service we provided. So this year we're going to try to charge for the citrus this year.
Okay.
Kind of help us out with the expense of doing this. Mm-hmm. But the citrus is still a donation that you can claim on your taxes.
All right, Lou Medrin, thank you very much, Lou, and Merry Christmas to you and everybody at the food bank.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me.
And again, for the tax credit, there's information at communityfoodbank.org or talk to your tax person about it.
Correct.
All right, Lou, have a great holiday season.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, coming up now on 1244 on the Buckmaster Show, we're going to take our last break of the show, and then we'll be back with Mark Sykes. Dr. Sykes, just back from China. We'll hear about his trip right after this.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. What if our future is space? Experience Mars and Beyond at Biosphere 2 every Saturday at our weekly What If special event during December. Growing food on Mars and seeing beyond the solar system are just a few of the adventures you can experience. Come visit the must-see wonder of the world today. Info at biosphere2.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Traveling music there, Ray, as we travel our way toward the end of the hour here on the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Mark Sykes is with us, CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, based right here in Tucson. They're in their 43rd year as a nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Dr. Sykes is just back from a very successful trip over to China, and he brought back with him in the back pocket a nice agreement between Planetary Science Institute and the Chinese government. Mark, how are you?
I am doing just fine. So, getting over jet lag, but still, you know,
a little
doing
bit. Yeah, a little bit of jet lag, but I also like seeing your photos that you posted at the Great Wall of China. It looked like you had a little snow on the ground there.
There was. And you know, you heard about the terrible fog.
Oh, yeah. Horrible air pollution.
Cleared up when I arrived. It was beautiful the entire week. Everybody was noting how good the weather was. And then, of course, I took it with me when I left to come back to Tucson.
Oh, yeah. So at night, you actually could see stars?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was amazing.
Very unusual.
Yeah, it was.
Normally, the inversion layer lasts for months over there, so you certainly lucked out. Yeah. And you were very fortunate, to come back with this signed cooperation agreement with it's the Chinese government, but you explain what it is, group.
Well, it's, you know, the Chinese are new in the game of solar system exploration, but they've got a young program and they've made some real accomplishments with their first three missions to the moon, an orbiter, a second orbiter, Chang'e 2, which mapped the moon at 7 meters resolution, then went off and spiraled around Earth moon L2 gravity point, but then it went off and it did a flyby of the near Earth asteroid Tutatis, which was really just quite a feat. Came within 13 miles. They took pictures of that. I met with the guy who was responsible for that, and then Chang'e 3 this last year became the first spacecraft since 1976 to land on the moon. And so they landed that, and then they offloaded a little rover to go around and make some measurements. And so they have further plans for the moon. They're planning, they're telling me that they're planning on doing another rover, a sample return. They're laying the base for sending their own astronauts to the surface of the moon, possibly setting up a permanent base. They want to go to Mars, and they're interested in near-Earth objects, near-Earth asteroids. So
they're very ambitious in this regard.
They're very ambitious. The people that are involved with it are actually a pretty young group of people. Because of their successes, there's just an enormous amount of energy and excitement. This lab that I went to has been largely constructed over the last 3 years. It is huge. China's pouring an enormous amount of resources into this, and they look to PSI as a good partner because of our very deep bench in planetary science. You know, so we could bring that to the table and participate in their future growth. And at a time when, frankly, our opportunities over here in the United States are declining. We've got 12 missions active right now, including, we may say 11 since Mars Insight got.
I just heard that yesterday, that March mission has now been pushed back.
Pushed back for 26 months.
Yeah.
But basically, by 2020, we'll be down to one mission. That's Mars. That's OSIRIS-REx. And so you know, we're as a business, we're reaching out to national space programs of other nations, corporate interests in the aerospace industry, to expand our funding base and provide more stability for our scientists, which we have a large number of.
You have a large number of scientists. You may have more PhDs working under one roof than just about anywhere.
Yeah, well, at least in the planetary science business.
Yeah, and your business.
But we have a really deep bench. We've got experience on missions that go back to the Apollo days, you know, with the people that have joined us over time. And so we have very deep experience across just about every subject area. And that makes us a value to up-and-coming space programs elsewhere.
And this mission on the moon right now, that China has their rover that they've got going?
Yeah, that's kind of come to an end now, but they've got more planned.
But I read something yesterday that they had found some kind of a rock that had not been even seen before on Mars. So they're doing a lot of science.
On the moon.
The moon, Not to Mars.
Not yet.
Not to Mars yet.
There's so much yet to be discovered, both on the moon and Mars and elsewhere in the solar system, and you know, it's not like we run out of things to do, and it's science that does affect us back here on Earth. You know, when we learn, you know, how things form, how things evolve, not just geologically but also atmospherically. As I've mentioned in the past, you know, understanding about the ozone hole at our poles, how that it came about from people studying the atmosphere of Venus and Mars and understanding its chemistry. And that resulted in our banning chlorofluorohydrocarbons, and now the holes are healing themselves.
They are healing
So a lot of what we learn does have, you know, a positive impact, you know, back home too.
Well, the Chinese aren't to Mars yet, but someone that would like to go is this Elon Musk.
he's making it easier by having a rocket that can, you know, first stage that can launch something up into orbit like they did the other day, and then come back 7 minutes later and land, you know, on the launch pad that it took off of, or even another launch pad. That will save a lot of costs of getting things to low Earth orbit. You know,
how big a deal is that? I know the science community is really abuzz about that.
Well, it's huge because again, it's a direct savings of costs. You don't build a rocket, launch it, and have it burn up in the atmosphere. You have to reuse it, and so how much of a cost that will be? You know, some people have speculated it could be a 75% cost, which is substantial, but we'll see as this develops. Anything that we can do to decrease cost to orbit is incredibly important, both for the economics of space and what we could do up there. Help Mars. It helps going to Mars a little bit, but the thing is, in that case, we want to get fuel at Mars in order to come back rather than haul it all up from the surface of the Earth, including the fuel to get
mission,
it back.
Right?
You know, it's So there's much more to do there.
We'll have the Martian all over again here.
Yeah. We'll see if the Chinese come in that case. But
so Mr. Musk's company is SpaceX. Mm-hmm. Is it? It's private.
Private company.
So they don't have stock or anything like that.
I don't know if they're privately held or whether they have shareholders.
You might want to check that out.
Not really.
It could be. His plan is what for Mars, Mr. Musk?
Oh well, he wants to retire there or something. but it's still a pretty pricey proposition to get out there. And then there's the question of. What you can do when you get there. You know, what would the environment be like for people? You know, if we were to establish a permanent, you know, colony, if you will, on Mars, you know, there's a lot of biological questions that need to be answered about whether, you know, we can reproduce in less than one gravity, because Mars is a fraction of Earth. These are questions that we can actually answer by putting things like a centrifuge on the space station, though I don't think that's in NASA's plans. They canceled that in 2006.
No.
there's a lot of kind of long-term infrastructure, biological issues with regards to expanding human presence in space that we're simply not even investigating.
And we keep hearing about astronomers finding these nearest planets capable of supporting life. The latest one is called WOOF 1061C.
Yeah, we know how to name things. and we don't know if they can support life or not, but they're in what's called the Goldilocks zone.
Okay.
So it's a place where if you had liquid water on the surface, it wouldn't either freeze because it's too far from the star or boil off because it's too close to the star. It's just right.
Just right to move in. There'll probably be a nice hotel there. And
who knows? Maybe we'll find a planet with hotels, you know, sometime in the future.
Yes, that one. Tourism alien, ready, right?
Alien civilization, you know, ready to take our money.
Mark Sykes, thank you very much. From the Planetary Science Institute, I sent in my check renewing my membership, and I strongly urge folks to do so. It's psa.edu.
PSI.edu.
PSI.edu. See, I got the EDU part
really
right.
Good for
I know,
for
I've been doing very
now.
Well on that. But no, congratulations. You had a great year.
You,
topped off with the China announcement.
Yes.
Great. Have a great holiday, Mark.
You too, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. Normally, I read this on Friday, Ray, but I'm doing it now since I won't be here live to do this Friday. The Buckmaster Show is wholly responsible for its content on behalf of Mr. Ray Allen, who is our fine operations manager and my producer Monday through Thursday, my producer on Friday, Tom Fairbanks, producer Ed Alexander, production ace Jerry Cross, Mr. and Mrs. Martin, the owners of this fine radio station, my executive assistant, Rosemary Brandt, all of us associated with the Buckmaster Show wish you a very safe and wonderful Christmas. Merry Christmas to you. Happy New Year. And we'll be back live at 12:04 on Monday. Special shows tomorrow on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Got more local talk coming up this afternoon for Tucson. From 4 to 5 with Mike Shaw, Wake Up Tucson tomorrow, and on it will go. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.